This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This is Business Women Australia podcast, featuring industry leaders who bring their wealth of expertise from diverse areas to help you build a successful business. Now, onto the show. Welcome to another episode of Business Women Australia podcast. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cross. Now, my guest today says, relinquish with love. It is the only way to transmute suffering. Joining me on today's show is Kathy McKenzie. Kathy, she is a master certified coach with International Coaching Federation. She's also the founder and director of Fire Up Coaching. Now, her lifelong love of learning serves her community, or to continually explore ways in which she can keep learning, which serves her to continually explore ways which she can keep learning and expanding her worldview and connect with clients in a much, much deeper and more meaningful way. And of course, that contributes to the community which you'll be sharing today. And she shares her joy of travel and living by the beach with her husband, John. And she's currently writing a book called Relinquish with Love, which explores how to let go of things in life that hold us back. Now, on today's show, Kathy's going to share ways that we can expand our thinking to enrich our relationships. She's also going to talk about the importance of recognizing the impermanence of struggle to overcome past trauma, as well as how reframing, refocusing, redirecting consciously can create change in the areas that we desire in our life and in our business. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Oh, thanks, Anne-Marie. It's great to be back talking with you.
This is a topic that I know before we even went live that, you know, you've been coaching and supporting clients around, and it's something that I think many of us have kind of experienced or know someone that has experienced some event that if we don't deal with, if we don't reframe, if we don't look at a different way, can certainly become a barrier and a block. And it can also inhibit our relationships. So it's a certainly a deep topic that we're talking about today, but one I think couldn't think of anyone better to come on the show and talk about, but it is so, so needed. So let us dive in. When we're thinking about relationships, you're talking about relationships in family, in our community, in our business. It's relationships across the board, isn't it?
It is. And what stimulated me to think about this topic for this conversation today, Anne-Marie, was that I have been doing publicity for my business, and we had engaged a PR agent. And each week we were sort of thinking of angles for the business. And then coming up to Mother's Day, I said, oh, look, I've got a different angle. It's quite personal, but it's a very important part of my journey, you know. And the PR girl said, oh, well, just give me a bit of background. And I said, well, look, you know, I'll be really honest. It's something I haven't shared with a lot of people, but it is a big part of my life still, that when I was 20, I actually was one of the first people to go through the process of open adoption. So I was I was 20 when I got pregnant, and you know, I had a steady relationship, so I was in love, but there was a whole lot of, you know, and it seems so crazy now, but in 1986, there was not the same attitude towards being a single mother that there is now. And I had broken up with my boyfriend, then found out I was pregnant. And then this whole process started that I can't even remember aspects of it now, but it was certainly my journey into looking at later on down the track when I kind of realised the consequences for my decisions and how that impacts on relationships, my own personal relationships, so how I actually made choices after that. And I had an interview with a journalist from The Guardian, and I'm thinking, oh, yes, this will just be some story in the back, you know, the back of an internet website somewhere. And anyway, on the Saturday before Mother's Day this year, the I started getting texts at like 6:30 in the morning saying, oh my God, that was so brave of you to tell your story, Kathy. Oh my God, that was so courageous. And I said to my husband, I said, oh, I think that story might have been published somewhere in a paper. Sure enough, I didn't even think that The Guardian gets syndicated to the Herald Sun in Melbourne. And it was in the Saturday Extra as a full page article with me beaming out of the pages. And my book is called Relinquish with Love, which is about adoption was called relinquishment at that point in time. And so it's been my journey to actually deal with all of the comings and goings over 36 years and how to let go of things with love. But interestingly, because of that article, it thrust it into the paper. And, of course, lots of my family have got grown-up children who they've had little conversations about what Auntie Kathy did when she was younger, but they haven't really had conversations. And it's been a really good example for me of how, you know, we put things in our past and think that that's where they should stay. And yet I've dealt with my, you know, I've done a lot of learning to deal with my own personal thoughts and beliefs and feelings over the years. I just hadn't thought about the impact it would have on all those around me and even girlfriends that I was nursing when that all happened. And a number of my girlfriends were really upset about, you know, the fact that I was still thinking about it, and yet, of course, I would still be thinking about it. It's not like my daughter's a happy, healthy, beautiful person with four children of her own. So it's that's where this whole relinquish with love comes, because it's about all of the journey that you go through yourself to love yourself in the face of things that other people perhaps want you to feel ashamed of or not to talk about, or, oh, wow, we're not comfortable with that, so can you just shut it down? That's kind of, you know, what happened. So that was why I was like, okay, let's not just keep burying this topic. Let's talk about it honestly.
Yeah, I love that because, you know, somewhere there are groups of people who may not have the courage or the boldness to speak out. And so by you doing that, they can really get a sense that, you know, you're almost sharing their own story and hearing how you've helped with it, healed from it, how you're dealing with it, and how you've moved through that now is often what can be that hope and inspiration and possibility, isn't it? That if they're still struggling with something, that, hey, if it's possible for Kathy to move through that, it's possible for me to move that through that too. And by not sharing that, I think, unfortunately, can leave so much undone and unspoken and unsaid. I'm all for let's talk about some of those difficult topics or harder topics, because if we don't deal with them, people are going to remain stuck. And I know that you are a coach, you're a master coach, and this is what you help others to do as well, which is about let's talk about some of these things so that we can heal with, you know, deal with them and heal from them. And that doesn't become a stronghold or a block. So what are some ways that we can start thinking, Kathy, about our relationships and ways to expand our thinking so that we can enrich our relationships?
I think one of the things that's been really important for me is to have the conversations you need to have. And when I'm coaching people, and I've had a really in-depth conversation with someone this morning around not feeling too embarrassed or ashamed of what's going on for you, to actually open up the conversations. And for many people, they just put the conversations off or they park them because they're ashamed of what's gone on or the past. And I think the capacity to open up and have authentic conversations is really important. And to recognize, you know, it's one of the things. And this is probably, it's probably only in the last few years since I did you have to do a whole session of 10 hours of master mentor coaching to get your master coaching. And the thing that really struck me while I was having my mentor coaching and having someone listen to how I was asking questions to others was that my mentor said to me at one time, you can only coach to the level that you've evolved yourself.
Wow.
And that really struck me as if I'm expecting people to really look at themselves and who they are authentically, then I have to be able to be honest about that part of my journey myself. And, you know, I'm proud of the fact that there's a beautiful girl who's got four children and a happy, loving relationship. And she's, you know, and because I was very specific about I wanted her to have, like, I chose the parent. So I wanted her to have an older brother. You know, this is how crazy I was at 20. I was thinking, well, she's got to have, you know, someone's friends around. And
brother. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, the whole, so I'm not sure really, I can't really think what I was thinking. But anyway, but, you know, the reality is that, you know, I am proud of the positive aspects of that story. And I think that's what's really important for us, is to reframe the way that we're judging ourselves. And that allows us to refocus and redirect. So when we tell ourselves, when we tell ourselves a different story,
yes,
that allows us to focus on what we want in life rather than what we don't want. And I think that's what's such a critical part of dealing with your own issues, so that you can actually then not be projecting that. And I think people don't actually recognize how much they're projecting into a coaching session that they haven't dealt with themselves.
So profound, that comment. And it's almost reminds, well, it does. It reminds me of something that when I hired a coach to help me get over a very traumatic experience that when, you know, a failure, someone, and a few months into that relationship, someone, one of my colleagues, heard me talk about some of the things we'd been talking about and some of the new ways that I was thinking and the future and so forth. She said, wow, if I think back to what you were, you know, a couple of months ago, you're quite different. And she said, I'd love for you to share your story if you would. So I said, I'm happy to do that. And so when I told my coach, she said, fantastic. She said, but just hold off for a moment. She said, because you've still got a little bit of journey to go and then you can share your story. And it's almost, it is, you know, often when you share a story and it still has that raw, and it can be raw, that's fine. But there's that real, that journey is still a few steps ahead. You don't want to be crumbling down if you're sharing your story because it hits some emotional times, is it? On stage or on a podcast or live streaming. So
exactly. And I can talk about it now really from a space of just complete acceptance of, you know, all the decisions in life that we make have consequences. And, you know, when we refer to that permanence or impermanence of things, it's recognizing that if you attach a fixed belief to something, as if that's going to be the way it is all through time, that doesn't serve you. And I think it's that whole thing around paying attention to how you're managing yourself emotionally and noticing, you know, am I being skillful or unskillful in this moment with how I'm managing myself? And if it's being unskillful, then you need to go back, because you're absolutely right. The first time I shared my story on stage was probably nearly 20 years ago, I'd say. Yes. And I actually was so raw that I completely lost the thread and I just was almost incoherent. and that's why I probably went back into my box for another 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I recognized that I still, you know, when we talk about relinquish with love, there's guilt, there's shame, there's, you know, there's sadness, there's so many emotions that you need to work through to actually get to that space of honouring that here and now is here and now.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I know that we've spoken about this, you know, offline, and when you shared your story, I also shared my story that I am adopted. And so, you know, and I'm happily, I'm open to speaking about it because I have, you know, healed from that and dealt with it, because even though I was adopted into an incredibly loving family, you know, mum, dad, you know, brothers, sister-in-laws and so forth, there was always this deep down, particularly when I was younger, this feeling of abandonment. It's just something that would happen, even if, you know, young child. I spent 3 months in a nunnery of all places, and had I not been adopted, I would have been sent to an orphanage. So and as a Christian, I know everything is in the Lord's hand and it was planted. But you know, for years, even growing up in a Christian loving family, that sense of abandonment and not being good enough, you know. And so for me, I dove into becoming very ambitious, if you will, and certificates and certifications and stuff to validate myself as, hey, I am worthy of that. But isn't it interesting that we will often seek alternative things to kind of, you know, deal with that, whereas really we need to get comfortable in who we are and recognize the situation. My mother at that time, my biological mother, did the best thing. She gave me life, you know, so another mother could then help me live it. And so two mothers, I mean, double, you know.
Yes.
Well, you look at it. No, I wasn't abandoned. Yes. Actually, you as a biological mother, you took time to nurture that life inside of you, gave birth to that life, and another wonderful family was able to nurture it. What a story that can be shared around.
And
beautiful.
And, you know, it's interesting, Anne-Marie. I think, you know, people such as yourself, I keep meeting people who are adopted, you know, so many times in my classes. We'll start talking about things, and this is when I would say nothing, because people would start talking about being adopted and I'd be like, you know, because it had almost, but, you know, it is, as you have said, to reframe that from abandonment to the gift of life. And, you know, it was so important for me to visit Anisha while she was in foster care, because I was just so worried. I'd done, you know, as part of my nursing in psychology, I knew all about attachment theory and all sorts of things, and I was so scared of her not having that sense of being loved from the minute she was born. And she was loved, and Bunny, the foster mother, loved her as well. And, you know, as soon as it hit the six week mark, you know, she was with that family who have loved her ever since. And, you know, all of that, there's so much love in her life. So it's not about that. But I, you know, likewise, I keep having people who are reflecting back to me what her experience might be and what her feelings might be. And it's complex. It's different for everybody.
Yeah, we're complex beings, aren't we? But the beautiful thing is there's always a way through, isn't there? There's always healing. There's always that, as you said, that it's not permanent. There's an impermanence of that struggle, and coaching is one of the ways that we can certainly get through that. Let's talk about recognizing the importance of recognizing the impermanence of struggle to be able to overcome past traumas, because a lot of times we think, well, that happened, it was a traumatic event, and there's nothing I can do with it, I just have to live with it. But that's not true, is it?
It's about actually starting to really work through the meaning that you've attached to that event. And I think it was incredibly valuable for me when I first went to Africa as a volunteer. And if you want to see a lot of suffering, in 2004, that was what I experienced. But I remember then I actually also had the opportunity to meet Kubus Neethling, who developed a brain dominance tool. And I remember Kubus talking about a woman who had been in one of his trainings, and her fiancé had run off with her best friend the week before she was due to get married. And 10 years down the track, she was sitting in his workshop, and at morning tea she came up to him and she said to him, "Thank you, Kobus. I've just realised that I allowed a moment in life to become my life." And I think that's it. It's around, she had created an identity around being unlovable, around being abandoned, and allowed that to become, and she said, you know, she recognized in herself when she was meeting new people who knew nothing about this, that she was recreating this story of who she was. And if we look at some of the work by Robert Dilts around logical levels, so we talk about environment, behaviors, capabilities, values, and identity. And if something if something that's been done, a behavior, and it can be very traumatic, however, if we can look at our capability to work through that energy and recognize that the capacity for suffering and the capacity for change are equal, that that moment in time is back in time and you can't actually change that. What you can change is the way that you look at your values and your identity, who you are, and transmute that behaviour or that what was done to recognise who you can be going forward. And we see this often in brave women, you know, Brittany Higgins and, you know, so Grace Tame, like they're incredible examples of the capacity for suffering and the capacity for change are equal. Like what happened to them was terrible.
Horrendous.
And,
yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, I often look at, you know, the work that I hope is being done with them to help them to continue to reframe that identity around, okay, so that was something that's been an identity at time, but that they actually can continue to grow and be something more as well as they go forward in time and to find their strength and their power and who they can be. Like they're both incredibly courageous in terms of what they've done, and it's important for them as they go forward to continue thinking about what's really important and why did I go through all of that and who am I going to be in the future. And when I'm coaching people, I really ask them around their values, you know, in relationships. If your relationship is not a healthy one and it's reinforcing a sense of I'm not good enough, I'm not loving, you know, I'm not lovable, all those sorts of things, well, you know, you need to work on either finding what's going on in yourself and whether you can actually transform that relationship you're in or whether you need to leave that relationship and find one that's healthy for you.
Yeah, so, so true. And it reminds me of that saying, you know, whilst you can't control the actions and behaviour of other people, what you can control is how you let that situation affect you. And that's very much around, you know, kind of that trauma too. And we've already spoken about kind of the reframing, the refocusing, the redirecting consciously can create change in those areas that you desire. And one of the things that I have learned over the years is that if there is something that, you know, you've had to work through, you've had to deal through, as you continue to move on in life, every now and again, you kind of walk past a situation or something happens that you think, ooh, you know, but you've got the tools to be able to do that and the strength to be able to go, you know what, no. And then, and so, you know, that whole of that coaching and reframing and refocusing and redirecting, it's something that we do continuously, isn't it? It's not like a set and forget. I've dealt with that and no longer going to impact me. Does that make sense? We're continuously evolving and growing and learning and relearning.
Absolutely. I think it's that continual expansion of awareness, and that doesn't ever stop in that, you know, there's a whole lot of different tools that we use. In fact, actually, we've just introduced a new tool around emotional intelligence, which I'm finding incredibly powerful for people. And there's 10 emotional competencies, and it measures firstly people's self-knowing and their self-reliance, their self-confidence, but it also measures their optimism, their empathy, their relationship skills, their straightforwardness. And there's a whole lot of things that allows people to look at and determine, you know, well, I've got a strength in this area, but I've still got a big gap in terms of perhaps my adaptability or, you know, it's been incredibly useful when I'm working with people for them to say, okay, well, you know, I've got strengths in these areas. And actually even, you know, I was coaching someone this morning around a personality profiling tool. And just looking at, and this is an incredibly successful person, but looking at the, you know, the feedback from her profile allowed her to step back and think, you know, there's a whole lot of other areas that I can expand my awareness of, so that I notice my triggers in a meeting. If someone, you know, because we were talking about, you know, the impact for many of us, if someone criticizes us, how that can kind of send us into a bit of a funky place. Whereas if if you are able to notice, oh, I've got a bit of a trigger there, I need to get curious and ask some questions. And rather than be paying attention inwardly to what's going on for you, to be able to have enough awareness and capacity to look at what's going on for the other person and flip it so that when you take that attention away from yourself, you're constantly learning more because you're not just so limited by that perspective of self, that you can start to get the perspective of other and the perspective of we. You know, the perspective of we is an incredible one. When you look at, when you know, if you think how a group is feeling and acting, I think the whole story around Billa Wheeler and the embracing the family that have just come back there this week, and I'll say their surname wrong, so I won't even try and say it. But I loved the fact that when I was watching it on the news the other night, I've been waiting for that family to be reunited with Billa Wheeler for 4 years, like everybody has. But you could feel the perspective of we, that whole community coming together as a we. And I think when we can get the we, that actually helps people to get beyond their fear that they're not good enough, et cetera. Like if, when you get a cause like that where people are so united in terms of making a difference that's positive for not just me but for the we, I think there's an incredible power. And I think it concerns me that, you know, that, and I'm not making a judgment on it, but I think hybrid workplaces, there's a lot of people who need a workplace is not just what the environment that you work in. There's all of those other social constructs that are building social capital that are important in us being not just me but part of the we.
Yeah, it's so true. And some people need the we, don't they? They need the we to.
Absolutely.
All the introverts when we went in lockdown, and I'm one of them, went, yes. I have to admit. Yeah. And all of the extrovert goes, what are we going to do now? No people.
Yeah.
And so, but you have to be aware of that, isn't it? I think. And you know, as you're talking about EQ, it is about knowing self, isn't it? Having the self awareness and having awareness of others, and then being able to adapt when we need to so that we can bring the best out of everybody, isn't it? Or create an environment in which people can feel safe and validated. And when we address something from that curious mindset, I want you to talk a little bit more about that, because what I find that it does is when we're curious and go, and we don't bring any judgment, there are so many different lessons that we can learn from that, isn't it? That curious space.
It's absolutely. And when we talk about a coaching mindset, it's about embodying possibility. And when if you're in your own head and judging the content of what someone's saying, we don't have enough headspace to be busy judging and to hold the space of curiosity. You actually have to work out your own stuff so that you can sit there clearly with someone and be fully present with them and allow them the space to explore whatever it is. And simple questions like the curious questions that you ask can help people to get that perspective that perhaps they would never have been able to get if they're trying to work it out in their own mind. So as a coach, by being able to hold that clear space for someone and have a curious mindset but not a cluttered mindset. A curious mind is really being 100% present. So I'm listening for you and for how your experience is. I'm not making a judgment. I'm not preempting what that means for you. I'm just holding the space in order to ask a question that can potentially deepen and broaden your awareness. So, you know, I'm opening up and expanding that space so that you can get a broader perspective as well from that conversation. And I know from both the conversations I had this morning that they were just like, wow, this is only 4 sessions. I can't believe, you know, what an insight I've got into how I can do things differently.
Yeah.
And And that's what holding a space in a curious mindset does for others.
Yeah. What I love about what you're just saying, and, you know, we're talking about the reframing, refocusing and redirecting consciously, which can create change in the areas that we desire, even leaders, I think. And I know the coaching industry, many of you are coaches that work with executives and leaders, really encourage those leaders to become aware of certain coaching techniques, isn't it, to be able to really support their team. And now with everything that every individual around the world has experienced over the last 2 years, there are so much that, you know, we can't just go back to the workplace and go, well, you know, onwards and upwards kind of thing. There's going
yes,
to be
exactly
addressed. And I think as leaders, that's one of the things that I'm hearing through some of my colleagues who are connected to the leadership space, that a lot of leaders say, we're not equipped to be able to support and create an environment. What can we do? And I know, Kathy, and I would like you to, I mean, answer that question, but I would also like to give you some time to share a little bit, because I know that with Fire Up Coaching, you've actually partnered with Business Women Australia, and there's a sort of a coaching certification that, you know, then the collaboration you're offering that may just be something that some of these leaders may consider as being. So how important is for leaders to have kind of not just a leadership style, but having coaching as part of that to be able to support their team?
Oh, it's invaluable. And it's interesting, Anne-Marie, we've seen a huge shift. And actually we've got a couple of people on the course at the moment who came to us through BWA because they were curious about how they as leaders could ask better questions and ask powerful questions, but actually understand, you know, understand the underpinning philosophy behind why some questions work better than others. And, you know, even that, why a why question, you need to be careful when you use a why question, because that's about delving into values. And our Diploma of Leadership Coaching and Mentoring gives people that really clear distinction between mentoring and how you know, how you use language as a mentor versus as a coach, how you're asking questions for which you don't know the answers. And that's around transformative conversations where you don't go in with a set mindset, or you don't go in with an intention of leading the person to wherever you want them to go. It's really about authentically being able to, and there's a model called the meta model, which is around, you know, noticing the process of the person that you're, and as a leader, the coaching conversations are not necessarily like, you know, like I do where I sit down for an hour and coach someone. It's giving people those leadership opportunities, recognizing the coaching moments. And that's what, you know, in the coaching skills courses, you know, when we run coaching skills for leaders in organisations, and the course that we collaborate with BWA, it's about teaching leaders to capitalize on those coaching moments and ask that powerful question. And the beauty is that they get a qualification at the end of it, which is now highly recognized. And whereas 5 or 6 years ago, you know, if you had a coaching qualification, it was nice to have. Whereas you see now on LinkedIn the importance of having a qualification in the area. If you're going to go for a senior leadership position, they want to know that you don't just kind of have a sort of quasi idea of what coaching might be, but you actually you've done coach specific training. And that's what's been really exciting working with BWA, is allowing business women to have the opportunity to do a course that is an Australian qualification as well as an International Coaching Federation accreditation.
Yeah. What I love about that too is that you can use that to enrich your relationships in the workplace, but you can also enrich relationships with your family, with yourself, if you're dealing and interacting with other human beings. And I'm sure
you do that
on a daily basis. And, and you know, even when you're speaking, the way you hold your face, because you might be saying something, but if your face is doing something that's not in agreement, all those nuances can really continue to build and help someone, you know, sort of through that and have an aha moment, you know, and I think that's wonderful. So, Kathy, I know we have just scratched the surface today. I mean, we could talk for an entire day and still,
we could.
You know, we are complex beings. But share for people who have listened to what you've said today and said, yeah, this is an area that I would love to expand my awareness, understanding and skill set in. How do they reach out to you? What's the best way? And maybe too, we've already hinted to the wonderful collaboration that you've done with BWA. How can they find out a little bit more about that?
Well, they can actually go through the BWA website, which links to us, or they can go to fireupcoaching.com.au, which is just F-I-R-E, up, U-P, and then coaching, fireupcoaching.com.au. And our phone number is pretty easy to remember. It's 1-300-FIRE-UP. So that's 1-300-347-387. And I'm certainly available on info@fireup.com.au. And we'd love to support anyone who wants to, you know, embark on a coaching career or be more effective as a leader. It's a constant theme of people who have teenagers going, oh my God, this has just been a godsend.
I know. It's like I tried to have a conversation and it kind of just triggered and just went down in a way. And it's sometimes exactly. It's just holding that space, isn't it? Asking the Correct. Look, whatever it may be, Correct. That can open absolutely. Up. Such great
absolutely
so right. Thank you once again for coming on the show. It's always a delight to be able to, to speak with you, and I mean, being, I know Fire Up Coaching is one of, it is the leading service provider in the area of coaching coaches, isn't it, and the certifications that you deliver, which means that you're getting ICF, we mentioned, International Coaching Federation recognition. That's the kind of content that you share in these certification courses, so that you know you're really at the front, forefront in the learnings, because that's what you offer. And let's face it, there's always new things that are being found out and the studies that are done. And when we can
be, exciting.
That at the forefront, it is very exciting. So thanks once again. And maybe we'll see someone in an upcoming collaboration course that you guys are offering with BWA. Thanks again.
Thanks, Anne-Marie. It's always wonderful to talk to you.
You've been listening to Business Women Australia podcast. Want to become part of a dynamic collective of women who are passionate about business success and personal growth? Go to businesswomenaustralia.com.au/membership to apply. That's businesswomenaustralia.com.au/membership.